Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Who the fuck are you?
Why?
You're a dwarf.
Nobody needs a wizard who can't cast spells.
Hey, should we take five?
Oh my god.
I heard they ate children.
Fooler won't be fooled again.
What do you mean, evil dwarf?
Oh no.
I just don't understand.
I definitely egged you on.
I saw what happened when my sister died and my mother brought her back.
Oh.
You know, there's a lot going on. I mean, I kind of understand where you're coming from. I mean, look at them.
And I look back and there's like the two dweebs back there.
Harsh. Wow. All right, then.
Welcome back to Dice Shame. This is Season 2, Episode 68, Get a Rise.
MVP this week is Abriel, nominated by Marimo. Marimo wrote, I think Abriel listens to Dice Shame, but I'm not 100% sure. But Abriel is super sweet and welcoming and always a joy to interact with on the Discord. Thanks so much, Marimo, for nominating Abriel. And Abriel, congrats. You're this week's MVP.
All right, should we play some D&D?
Yeah, let's do it.
Put this in your mind's eye. You have now been shrunk down. You are tiny. You are just you're a little guy.
Horrifying.
And yeah,
how big are we talking?
Wait, like little, we're talking, like young?
We're talking like the size of like maybe like one
Thumbelina?
Like two knuckles, like high. Like two of your knuckles, yeah.
Like an inch, inch and a half.
Yeah. That's I like how I don't go to like an actual measurement. I'm like like going like a,
ooh,
like a medieval peasant
high.
Being like four hands, like measuring a horse.
Mm-hmm.
And you're outside. What is the first bug that you want to try to find to like turn into your steed?
Because Dragonfly.
Honestly, like, I would want to be like out there like doing something cool. I want to be out exploring, and I feel like if I was like able to get like a toothpick or something and could be like, yeah, and like get a bug, what would I be?
First off, all of you need to play grounded.
Yes, very
Joe and I have literally hundreds of hours in exactly answering this question. And it's ladybug, first off. Then it's ox beetle. Then it, no, I'm just teasing. There's many.
Well, what so the here's hell a question. Because Rob was like right off the bat said dragonfly, but do we have to best it in combat in order
yeah,
to?
That can be tricky.
You have to be able to wrangle it. Like you have
That's
to be able to get to it. So like you may not have to like best it, but you at least able to get on its back. So
yeah,
dragonflies are like right up there, but it would be hard because they're
because ladybugs fly. They don't really have, I mean, they have some really good defenses.
They, you know, trundle around so you don't have to worry about getting fucking seasick or like bucked off with a dragonfly, right?
I don't know.
I because my first thought was butterfly, but dragonflies felt like they moved in a straighter line that had less like up and down wobble in it, is where I was, my brain was going.
They I'd be riding a butterfly going, come on, that way, stop fluttering. Come on.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about this flower. Let's get going.
Are we going this, that?
Yeah.
Come on.
Alex is up there just going like, butterfly in the sky.
Flies so high.
Reading rainbow.
I look forward to the day that I'm walking along and I hear a butterfly fly by and a tiny voice sings out.
Oh, I'd be so terrifying. Yeah, I'd go ladybug though. Ladybugs fly. They got great defenses. They're friendly. They're helpful. They're, you know, they ward off predators.
Whoa. You just got this from a game, okay? Who the fuck said ladybugs were friendly?
They are.
When they get afraid, they piss on you or they let out that stuff. I've had ladybugs bite me.
That's a defense mechanism.
I have never had a dragonfly bite me. Now, I would argue that I would not
Wait,
have
are
to-
you saying you've had a ladybug bite you?
Yes. And I would argue that you would not have to.
What did you say to that ladybug to make it bite you?
Are you thinking of the other types of ladybugs that are called?
The orange ones?
Birds.
Yeah. Okay, but let me just finish my thought here. You don't know. You don't know how friendly a ladybug is. We don't know any of this. But
it could be racist.
I will have to say.
Probably are.
That I get a strong sense from dragonflies, going back to dragonflies, that you know what? I've never had a dragonfly bite me, and they always land on you in a friendly manner. And they're always looking around. You know what I mean? I have a feeling that if you were standing, you know, two knuckles high in front of a dragonfly, that they'd probably say, hey, jump on. Where are you going? Let's go. We'll grab a bug on the way. We'll snack and party.
You're you know? Surprisingly passionate about this. More passionate than I am. I don't really care.
Get rid of these fucking mosquitoes.
I appreciate your passion. Sure, well, you've won. I don't want to do a ladybug anymore.
Thank you. Good.
But dragonfly is fuck dangerous.
Yeah.
If you're on a ladybug and it gets fucked, you're
you know
fucked.
What? You're probably right.
The real trick, like, I'm thinking... Okay, you gotta get a dragonfly young, right when they're leaving the edge of the water. But now
that's dirty. That's gross.
A nymph.
But now you're a little guy on the edge of the water, and there's every kind of frog and fish out to get you. It might be pretty dangerous trying to get that.
Yeah.
That.
We're thinking
I don't know,
too
like,
small.
What about a centipede?
I forgot the question. Was it kill or
no?
Friend?
You have to
be friend.
It would be your mount.
Yeah, ride it. Yes.
I'm imagining myself lying with my hands behind my back. On the back of a centipede, just letting it take me where it wants.
Is it a house centipede?
No, Ew. God, no. It's a forest centipede.
Nah, that's better.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, I'd probably be on the
I'm
back of a
fucking
dog.
Fucking maniac.
Right? if you get in the hairs of a dog, you're pretty safe.
There's no insect dog.
A dog's an insect. For a giant.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you're talking about a tick then, Harlan, because you'd be riding in a dog.
Yeah. Gross. Ticks are like insanely
disgusting.
Strong.
They're so gross.
Yeah, they suck.
Strong too. I try to crush one.
Don't.
Why would you
That's
do
so
that?
So gross.
Oh, I found one on my pant leg. And I was like, I took it and I grabbed it between my nails and I like squeezed it. I tried to pop the head off.
But
you know what? That little fucker, excuse me, well, is 18 plus. That little fucker would not. I couldn't kill it. I was like,
you know, you're not supposed to take the heads off if they're in you, right?
It wasn't in him. It wasn't in
oh,
me.
It was, on your pant.
I was
on your
I just
pant.
Picked it out. I was trying to cut it in half, my fingernails. And like, it wouldn't. Like, it was ain't actually insane. I like squeezed it. And I was like, that should be good. Just so you know how you catch a mosquito or something. It's done. This thing, I probably tried 3 or 4 times. And I threw it into the fire pit. And I was like,
what the fuck are you?
Die by fire.
Okay.
It's a whole journey here. We're,
and then
we're
it exploded.
It.
Crack.
I'm just saying.
It came back to life and haunted me to this day.
I think I might go for just a normal house fly. You know?
Oh, that's
If I could ride it. If I could ride it, they got no teeth. They'd be like,
you would be going to hang out with a lot of shit.
Yeah, you'd
yeah,
be just like,
maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, are you like, saying that we have to like best it the way Joe's saying, or is it just, you know?
I think that like you, there has to be a believable ability for you to like actually like get near one. Like, so if it's like some,
can't be a spider.
Yeah, I mean, you could try. It's like the kind of difference between like, you know, do you want, you know, you could try to get close to a horse, you can get close to a moose. One of them is going to turn you into wilderness pizza, probably, but
probably the horse. Like,
yeah. they are terrifying.
Like a wolf spider would be an awesome
so
mount.
This is just like a mini version of the question that we had a couple months ago, where it was like, what animal could you fight?
Oh, that's true.
It's, oh, no. This is just, what can you befriend?
Oh, I know. Crocodile.
If you were super tiny.
Little tiny crocodile.
What insect?
That's the animal I want in my pocket. Little guy. I can just pop
it's
out.
A crocodile. This is the
friend.
Answer for every question.
Yeah, it's crocodile. See, I would just go with the bumblebee.
Oh, that's the answer.
They're the worst.
Oh, what? Come on, Harlan.
Oh, my God. You have no fucking idea how terrible bumblebees are.
What are you talking about?
This may be the wrongest thing you've ever said.
Not if I'm only saying it to be ironic.
Country.
Yeah, are you trying to be ironic?
How dare you? How dare you speak ill of me and my hive?
Well, that's why it's funny, because so many people are like, so many people are like, save the bumblebees, and which... It's really funny and nice. You've never hear anyone go, fuck bumblebees. And because I like to be a contrarian, I just want to say, fuck
I mean, there are some people I'm hearing forever. Say, fuck honeybees recently, because yeah, they're displacing native bees in the areas that we're making honey. But
yeah, well then, fuck honeybees. Yeah, I would go spider. I'd tame it. I'd wiggle something delicious in front of it and hop on.
I'm going to join you on Team Bumblebee.
Yeah.
I kill those things all the time and grounded.
Just hanging out with little soft bees. And you get access to honey. You get like a nice hive.
You get to
hang
dance all day just to like.
Yeah.
You get to visit to like every flower.
You get to like talk. You just get to shake your butt and just be like, oh,
how little you know about bumblebees. 100%. Oh my God.
You're like, their opinions on so many things, so upsetting. They are the least woke of the bugs.
Bees like to play too. There was that whole thing about bees playing with balls and stuff.
Yeah.
They're the worst. Monsters.
I'd also like to suggest, just for pure weird bug cuteness, the weevil, a bug that is pretty weirdly cute.
We've killed so many of those and grounded as well, too. Mm-hmm. They're awesome.
Little weevily guy.
Can make armor out of them.
An evil weevil.
Oh.
An evil weevil. I can't think of that many insects right off the top of my head right now. It's bothering me.
Ladybug.
Sure.
Speaking of insects that are giant, because we'd be small, rather being small in the you know what, should we play some D&D?
Let's do it.
Here's the segue.
Dun, 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 dun.
Ow!
Go get some bugs.
Let's bug hunt. Your travels continue. You pass through these caverns and tunnels in the Underdark, and you come to a place that Doran knows is about almost an hour from Scarborough. You're getting very close now. This cavern is full of shards of crystals, these formations that form prisms that jut out of the floor and ceiling, and some of them are glowing with their own internal light. It's a peaceful place here. And in and amongst some of these shards of crystal, there are tiny blue mushrooms that grow all around. It's very beautiful. The crystals themselves are not really worth anything, which is why they haven't been harvested or mined. Just kind of lovely.
They're just pretty. Hey, should we take 5? I could use a break. Doran and I are still wounded, as you can see. short rests would be valuable for those of us who don't have magic and don't understand the intricacies as well as you two do.
Yeah, I don't mind the idea of a rest, Red. That's a good thought.
Yeah, you know what? I gotta say something. What's going on with you, Jack? It doesn't seem like you had everything together back there. I mean, you know, you still had the same flash and bang that you normally have, but
less of a bang, more of a bang.
A lot less of a bang. Yeah, yeah. What? Any idea what's going on? Like, we don't need. I don't. What? Do you have an explanation?
How about? Do you want to talk about it?
Nobody needs a wizard who can't cast spells.
Well, that's not what I mean.
Well, I heard you. I don't have an answer.
Also, it's not true that we don't need a wizard that can't cast spells, Jack. Even if you were as useful as Alistair,
yeah.
We want you regardless. Is what we're saying. You're our friend before you are a wizard.
Yeah, I just need some time to think. I think I don't know. It's just nothing's quite lining up in my brain the way it used to. I know I took a pretty big hit the other day, and maybe I'm still just trying to work my way through that. Everything just feels a little bit like it's through a lens distorted, and I'm trying to...
Yeah.
You know.
You shouted at me.
Very unlike me.
It was. It hurt my feelings.
I'm sorry I hurt your feelings, Red.
That's okay. I just didn't know. I'm not very smart. I'm wise, but I don't know anything about magic.
Hard to argue that.
I'm going to go take Steven for a little walk. And Red summons Steven. We'll just head up the road, see if we can't find out where we are.
Duh, Red.
Yeah?
Tallrumas. It's the den of wandering Tallrumas.
Oh.
That's where we are.
Cool. Come on, Steven. You want to see the den of wandering Tallrumas? Yeah, me too. And Red walks off for a moment.
Doran turns back to Jack. And what's Mari up to?
Mari sort of walks around and kind of finds like a little spot to like sit down on. And she waves Jack over.
So, is there anything I can do to help? You want me to, like, gather sticks or something?
No. No,
I don't know. I don't know. What do you have to build a fire, I assume? I don't know.
I don't know why I thought
you'd have to burn something.
Yeah,
but.
No. I don't have to do anything like that. I just... And she reaches into her pocket and she kind of gingerly picks up this piece of Alistair noggin and cleans off a little piece of the ground and places it on there. I've never done this spell before. I'm just going to be honest. I've never done it before. And it's complicated magic. It's big magic. It's more than I ever thought that I would be doing because this is not normal for me. This is not the kind of stuff that I would normally be diving into. But I have seen it because I saw what happened when my sister died. And my mother brought her back.
Oh.
She was out for a ride with my oldest sister, and she got thrown from the horse. And when she hit the ground, I just remember the sound. And we brought her back in, and we brought Mirren, my youngest sister, back in, and you could heal her bones, you could heal the cuts, but she wasn't breathing. My mother made a choice, and I sat there with her, and I took her hand, and I couldn't see what she was doing because it's almost like she went inside of herself, but it only took a couple of minutes. And then there was Mirren and she was crying and my mother scooped her up and she told me that she was sorry that I had to learn this younger than she thought I would. And she takes a deep breath and starts trying to feel for this veil, this gap in between the world of the living and the world of the dead to enter into this middle passage. And as she does, she's still sitting there and her eyes are still open, but they cloud over and they turn dark and these tiny pinpricks of light start to form. Suddenly she finds herself in a small hallway with soft golden carpets and a wallpaper that as she looks closer, it looks like waves, but it's not a repeating pattern. It's all hand-drawn. These waves that point her towards a door with a four-pointed star carved into it. And she walks over and gently opens this door. And when she walks in, what she sees is a vast, endless space that just keeps opening up further and further. It is floors made of polished hardwood in a rich sort of golden wood, and then just open up into this endless navy, deep navy sky above her. And it is filled with layers upon layers of constellations and stars. And it's in that moment that she knows that these are constellations formed by those who have died, and each one is a death. And she knows that she needs to find the constellation that is Alistair. And the spell requires her to be able to picture the person, to recreate them almost in mind and body from memory. And that's one thing when you're trying to find your child or your partner, but this is a random little man who has been following along with them for barely any time at all. And as she's trying to do that, it's hard. She's trying to remember things about him, what he looked like and what he sounded like, but it's difficult, and the memories are slipping away from her. They feel greasy and wrong in her mind, and she's can feel the pain of her physical body starting to seep through the fatigue and the frustration. And as she's trying to like pick through these stars and pull them down towards her, she's not sure if she's pulling the right ones, but she's trying. She's trying to remember little things about him, all that she knows, which is not very much, and it's difficult, and she's getting frustrated, and the frustration is not helping. Somewhere in her mind, she knows that this is not the best way to do this spell, that she needs to concentrate on bringing this person back, but she's just so tired in this moment.
Jack and Doran, you watch as Mari is casting this spell. She's reaching the weave of this magic to pull out the essence of Alistair and transmute a body for him out of these spell components that she has prepared. Wind begins to whip up around her, bringing sand and gravel from all corners of this cave into dervishes all around Mari. Her eyes are closed, and as she reaches the zenith of this casting, a blinding light radiates from all around her, kind of like her astral form, but much brighter, so brightly you can't see for a moment. And then in the aftershock of the glare, she's back, Mari, just standing there, or maybe fallen to her knees. And in front of her, on the ground, is a humanoid form. A small figure, dusty skinned, gray. And as he, naked, takes to his feet unsteadily and looks around the cavern, Alistair Noggins looks wrong. He's wearing a dwarven form now, with white hair, and he looks confused from face to face to face.
What did you do to me?
Oh.
Mari's best sort of on her knees, just kind of breathing heavily. She's like clammy looking right now. Oh no.
Alistair?
What did you do? This can't be happening.
He looks down at his hands, these stumpy fingers, bigger hands than a rock gnome, but strange, darker skin, and looking up around the cavern, seeing this unfamiliar place.
What the fuck is going on?
You died, and now you're alive in a new body because your old one couldn't hold life anymore.
Yep. And if I have to say, you know what? You shouldn't be so disappointed because you're a dwarf, it appears. And there's nothing wrong with being a dwarf, all right? You must have wanted this too because apparently she couldn't do this without you wanting it at least. So, and you should thank her.
He looks into your face, Mari, and you see fear and anger and confusion. And he starts stepping away from the three of you.
I didn't ask for this at all. This isn't right. This isn't right. I don't know what...
And then he backs into red.
Oh, hey! Huh. Wait. Who the fuck are you?
20 minutes have since passed, and the party is already moving again, leaving the shimmering crystal cavern, the den of wandering Telrumus, and headed for Scarborough, with Alistair following, dressed in Doran's spare tunic and sullenly keeping to himself.
Red turns to Doran. The two of them are kind of like far up ahead. And they've been walking in silence for a fair amount of time. He just says, "Do you believe it?"
I can believe it.
Yeah.
But I don't trust them. Those Duergars are...
What?
Untrustworthy.
What are you talking about, the Durek? I'm not talking about the Durek. I'm talking about them.
What are you talking about?
Red points over his shoulder to Mari and Jack.
What? You don't trust them?
Before bringing back him, which that's a whole can of worms, you didn't see when Mari used the staff of healing on Jack while you and I were out getting rid of the bodies? I'm wounded here. Look at me.
Yeah. You look like you've been injured quite a bit. Doran sort of eyes you up and down.
Yeah, and you too.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm fine. I mean,
Yeah, but how does it make you feel, you know? They tell us to go take out the dirty work. We volunteer, don't get me wrong, but while we're out doing the dirty work, they're healing themselves, you know? And what was with Mari blowing up on us, getting mad at you for being hot-headed when all you were doing was stopping some dragon cultists, and me pulling back and becoming invisible and firing, sorry for being a ranger? Like, well, you know?
Yeah.
I walked up to her, and you know what she said to me? She said, "Don't even start." Is what she said to me. "Don't even start." Who opens a conversation like that? It's them I have an issue with right now. And Red kind of stares forward.
Yeah, Doran's kind of staring forward as well. He's in his own thoughts. He's sort of, I would say, three quarters listening to you and one quarter in his own head.
Yeah, well, you know, Red, I'm sure that they didn't go and heal themselves, you know, and not heal you on purpose. I mean, did you say anything? Do you want to go and do the magic thing and heal some of your wounds? If it's concern of yours, just go and say something. I mean, it's easy enough to be concentrating on one thing and then overlook, you know, what am I trying to say?
You're saying it wasn't purposeful is what you're saying.
It wasn't intentional, I think.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. I don't know.
You know, there's a lot going on. I mean, I kind of understand where you're coming from. I mean, look at them.
And I look back and there's like the two dweebs back there.
Harsh. Harsh. Wow.
But I mean,
we're all right then.
You know,
harsh language.
Fucking nerds back there. Us jocks.
The characters are me and Rob. This doesn't really make a difference.
It's a distinction without a difference. Yeah.
I mean, look, you're not wrong. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm being too sensitive. But, you know, it got escalated with us. You and I, we said our piece. I thought you brought up a really good point a few hours ago when you came in talking about whether or not Alistair even wanted to come back. And now look at him, you know, he's a different person. And I felt this for a long time. You know, Jack's confidence. I mean, look at the box, you know? He pulled it out of the bag when we weren't looking. He got into it. That's... You know what that is. That's being too close to the sun. That's believing in yourself in a level that can bite you in the ass. And it did. It bit him in the ass, Doran. And now he might be biting Alistair in the ass, too. I don't know. But you might be right. Maybe it's just...
Well, no. You might actually be onto something there. You know, what Jack did with that cube thing. I mean, hell.
And he kind of looks right into your eyes, Red. And he says,
Reminds me of Kraloth, something he might do. And I mean, look what happened to him. I mean, I don't think it's so much about trusting him. I trusted Kraloth, but I don't know. I think we need to watch out for them. I mean, sometimes you do things, you don't think about it. And that Duergar, I mean, was he always like that? God, he was a gnome at first, and then they brought him back to life, and all of a sudden he's one of those... evil dwarves?
What do you mean, evil dwarf?
Well, I've just heard the tales. I don't think I've ever really met a Duergar, but I know my ancestors have had battles with them. They came up from the depths, and
well,
I heard they ate children. I mean, put it this way. I guess I am a little bit concerned because was he originally a Duergar that has been, you know, hiding himself as a gnome? Or is this just what happens when Mari casts a spell to bring him back from the dead? And I'm just a little bit...
Red stares at Doran, and he's just like, I think probably the second one. But you know what, Doran? Sometimes I wish I was in your brain for a vacation. Because that's an interesting thought, you know? Was he a Duergar in disguise all along? And then he died to be revealed. You know? Who knows?
I don't understand how bringing someone back to life from dead makes them change into a different being. I just don't understand.
As was made abundantly clear to us, we don't understand a lot about magic, but that's their problem now.
That's 100%. I mean, the stuff with you do.
I don't do magic.
I mean, you know.
I feel the earth move under my feet.
Sure, seems like magic sometimes the way...
Anyway, doesn't matter. Look, he's still Alistair.
Mario already didn't trust the little guy when he was a gnome. And now you're telling me that he comes back to life as some different person and we're supposed to trust him all of a sudden? Not me. Not yet.
Fooler won't be fooled again.
But to be fair, of all the people, Red, I mean, we meet someone in the yard that's like, oh, hey, here's some bread. And you're like, don't trust him. Like, if, you know, like.
Here's my thought, though. Jack has canonically skewed certain people that Red's seen positive in negative light because of their beliefs. And Red's going off that vibe with you, being like, yo, just because he's different doesn't mean he's that.
Totally.
Additionally, Red's never trusted Alistair, though. He's not like, this guy's good all of a sudden.
But now you're making that argument. You're saying, oh, we should
trust him. I said was Alistair's the same Alistair. I didn't say Alistair's a good guy. I just said he's the same as he's always been. And if that means he's bad, then he's still bad.
So shouldn't you agree with me? So shouldn't you say, I don't know if he was hiding?
Well, I don't think that's a really good argument, frankly. You think... Meta, you think the Duergar was in the skin of the gnome for fucking years and then he got killed and came back? And...
Well, how do you know it's for years?
It's the perfect disguise. Well, we only just met him today.
Look, you know what? Sure.
Look, believe it. Do what you want. Do what you want with your character. No, I'm just so saying, logically, we meet the guy.
Hold on, what do you mean logically? Let's not throw this word around willy-nilly.
We meet the guy in
which
the
I don't trust.
Of a giant. Right?
Right.
He's in the pocket of a giant.
Agreed.
You don't trust him.
Agreed.
Mari doesn't trust him. He dies in battle.
Right.
And he's brought back to life as, quote unquote, what Doran thinks was an evil race.
And you think his master plan was to, what, be killed and come back as a Duergar?
No.
You know what? Maybe Alistair.
But maybe Alistair.
Was actually, maybe Alistair is actually that giant in disguise or was piloting the giant Thane somehow, and Alistair's the big villain for the game.
Alistair, big bad.
Alistair,
possible. It's a possible. It's just as possible. You have exactly as much evidence for yours as mine.
You get to take Mario back and like just blow her up if that's true.
All of a sudden, Red's like, oh no, we should. It's the same guy.
I'm not saying. Look, hey, and I am willing and genuinely open to putting to a vote. Do Mari and Jack think that Red is being out of character and not buying into this?
I think you're willingly
idea.
I'm gonna call it a conspiracy theory.
The conspiracy theorist? Yeah.
Okay.
Do we think is it something Red would be like? Right? Because then I'll do it.
I think Red absolutely would fall for this kind of conspiracy.
I am so embarrassed by you, Rob.
In any other context.
Okay, I'll do it. I'll do it.
Red is very much a yes, I'll go along with it. Whether or not Red actually believes it in his heart, nobody knows what's going on inside Red. But
this has the same amount of legs as if being like, that could be a dragon in human skin.
Well, we've seen people shapeshift.
You know what, though? I think because Red is feeling like it's him and Doran against Mari and Jack.
You know what?
Even if he doesn't think that Doran... has any fucking credibility.
Sure, if we honestly think Red is stupid, but if we honestly think he's that stupid, I'm in.
It's not beyond the pale.
I don't understand what you're like, actually.
Why is this his master plan?
Doran is questioning the nature of the spell.
No, I can understand questioning the nature of the spell because... I think that if he'd come back as literally anything, Doran would be like, what the fuck? He'd be like, just looking at it, being like, Why?
Maybe I'm misunderstanding. If you're presenting this as Doran, as like maybe he was a Durgor all along, without the connotation of evil or Machiavellian intent, yeah, Red would be on board with that. I guess I'm having a tough time divorcing Doran being like, oh, he's a Durgar. I don't trust him. Was this him all along? With the thought of just him being like, hey. Because if it's just a hey, then I would be on board. Sure.
Let's back it up for 1 second. If this gnome came back to life as a gnome.
Quotation marks around gnome, strongly implied. Right? Scare quotes. Sorry.
What if he came back as a gnome, I don't think there would be any question. The fact that he came back as something else makes me question.
Yeah, I
don't want to get too into this conspiracy theory. But if Alistair had come back and was perfectly chill about his new body, that's one thing. But if someone was out there to get us to split apart, Red's Rovers to shatter us, to get us to divide our loyalties...
It would be a Durgar.
Wow.
Red's order of operations right now is, as Joe said, side with Doran. I agree. And if, in a bubble, Doran innocently is like, hey, I wonder if this was him all along. 100% could be on board with that, and maybe that's where Rob's coming from.
I'm just being a shit. I don't know.
However, if you are saying he's evil and there's a secondary, like, Machiavellian intent behind all of this bullshit, Red's order of operations is don't prejudge, because I think that's been more established than side with Doran, especially in Red's character being like, well, Asmodeus, devil is the devil, and blah, 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 that would supersede him. So he would be like, defend the Durgar first, and then be like...
And that's where I'm going with this. I would rather you just say something like, hey, you're right. He did come back as something else. That is questionable.
Red's not going to agree with Doran when he's coming off racist, basically.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Easiest way.
But I don't care.
Yeah, Red wouldn't...
And Red doesn't have to agree.
Let's take it again.
Let's just retake it.
You know, he...
Yeah? What?
I don't know. Well, why was he a gnome? And then when he died,
yeah,
he was a gnome. When Mari brought him back to life, I'm just saying, maybe his true form is this Durgar. And I mean, I don't want to sound like...
Well, hold on, stop right there. You brought up a great point. Hey, you think that maybe all of this is really just a way that revealed something he was keeping from us. Maybe he's been a Durgar all along.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't blame him. Look at him. Gorgeous, mottled skin. I hate to break it to you, but... I think the Durgar are a little bit more attractive than dwarves. Look at those eyes. Those velveteen lips.
Oh my god. So far the other way.
Sorry, you were saying. Continue.
It's going in problematic in a different direction now. We're
fetishizing.
Ah, damn. Yeah. Sorry. No, not attractive. Just
it's awoken something in this insider.
No,
it's
so handsome,
really,
that's all.
Just look, I was asexual.
I don't know. Put it this way. How do I know that he wasn't a Durgar all along? I mean, Red, I was brought up hearing stories about this, you know, evil race of dwarves that went off thousands of years ago. I mean, how do I know he's not some spellmaster who's disguised himself as a no? Look, I'm getting ahead of myself. This should be weary.
Yeah.
And he looks back.
I mean, I never trusted Alistair, but I wouldn't treat him any differently just because he's a Durgar. You know, he's no different than you and me.
Doran will invent any reason not to worry about going home. He will be literally on the doorstep of his dead mother and trying to find something else to worry about.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh my god, I'm out of groceries. I have to go. I gotta buy some soup.
You bring up a good point. It definitely could be that he was a Durgar all along. But that wouldn't change the way I feel about him being a little shifty.
Well, that's... Yeah.
You know, I don't judge people based on their race, is what I'm saying.
Oh, neither do I.
Well, it sounds like you are.
Well, kind of.
Yeah.
When there's...
Why go there?
He's just baiting you.
He's entirely doing it to needle you.
No, I'm doing it to clarify Red's stance. I'm saying it clear.
Sibling stuff.
There are evil races.
Your family may have told you stories about evil Durgar, but in actuality... That's not necessarily who they are. And if you want to make the character decision for Doran, that's totally fine. Should we see what Mari and Jack are talking about?
I think that's an episode, really.
Yeah. Dun, dun,
it's a real five
dun,
footer, dun, that dun, one. Dun, we,
yeah. Oh my god.
We got one step closer to to Scarborough.
In my defense, Rob, you said I would act differently. If you had just been like, yeah, then...
I know. I definitely egged you on, and I was half-hearted about it, but then it went to a really funny place that I enjoyed.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I thought the history was that they were inherently evil, but apparently... Just...
You're not wrong, and that's the way a lot of people have written about them in the past as a pretty ham-fisted allegory for some really weird politics. But we don't need
Cut this, Harlan.
Oh, it'll be hilarious. I can hear it already.
Avoid the evil conversation, okay? Because I do take it back. I thought, you know, I would like to retract that.
If you want to cut Doran's view of the Duergar being evil,
but I cut because I thought they were an evil race to begin.
Yeah, that's
fine. I thought a legitimate Alex thought.
Well, listen,
canonically in the book, they're read as evil.
Okay. Well, here's the easiest way to fix this. Well, I don't know, Doran. They're just people like anyone else. Maybe what you know is wrong.
Look, I don't know. I just, you know, sometimes people tell you things. I know my family had told me right from growing up that, you know, the Duergar were, you know, evil and lived in the, you know, in the darkest depths of... But then again, this is my family that doesn't talk to me, so what the hell, who am I supposed to know?
Hey, yeah. And like I said, I don't trust Alistair any more than I did before, but I don't trust him any less, just because he's a Duergar.
Yeah.
He looks cool to me.
I just don't understand why he came back differently.
Perfect.
And scene.
Thank you once again to our wonderful Patreon supporters, Adam Fry, Amanda Kitchener, Amy Garza, Anne, Atholagoth, Cecil Lee Wilson, Jerry Rose Anderson, Christopher, Colin Burkhart, Crow, Casey, D.S. Dippity, Elizabeth H. Flynn, Gareth Bradshaw, Haley again, Harper the Marks, Indrid Hartley, Jekyll, J.D., Joy Robinson, Jory, K.R., K.M., Cade, Lasagna, Last Ruth on the Left, Leader J., Lizzie Demon, Lorelei Feldman, Matilda Rushing, Melinda Curley, Moon, Melissa, Merlin, Sam C., Regan, Ren, Ruth Ann Reed, Scotty, S-Ray 96, Tony Pepperoni, Xander Morning Dove, Zephyrus, and Zach House. Woo!
Rob, stop it. You're just poking the bear.
Rob, you're not helping.
You're not helping.
Not helping at all.
That's hilarious.
Sorry, everybody.
Oh, man. What are Mari and Jack talking about?
I don't know. I need a second to figure that out.
You know, Mari's like, talking. Generally speaking, I'm like racist against any Duergar.
It's Earth Nazis.
Are those fucking bastards?
It must have picked up on my racism when I brought him back.
Because gnomes can fucking take a short walk off a tall cliff.
Where's Alistair now?
He's keeping to himself behind. And because you're the only one his size, I assumed because he was naked, you gave him your spare tunic.
No.
So
no,
there's just a naked tunic.
My spare tunic? My precious pajamas?
Me or Doran?
Doran. Oh. No, Doran. Alex Guthrie's spare tunic.
You or Doran? Like, there's a difference.
And when she hit the ground and she made a sound, my older sister, she leapt a mound, and when she finally came around, they had to look, but certainly found a lifeless body pound for pound. You could smell her. You didn't need to be a hound. She wasn't joking. We surely weren't being clowned. I lifted my hand and moved it around, twisting my wrist in the air, just like a toy that's been wound. Maybe never verbed, but absolutely nouned. See how I verbalized noun?
Oh my god. Murray's trauma makes bizarre slam poetry.
I should probably do more of a rap as opposed to just making fun of Nurse Hall.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.